The newsreader continued, "The police officer, identified by witnesses as Inspector Hobbs, incredibly managed to knock a hole through the top of the van despite coming under small arms fire. His amazing attempt at apprehending the entire gang only ended when the van crashed into a hedge and he was brushed off. Fortunately, he was reportedly unhurt and is already back on duty. Now we're going over to Jeremy Pratt in Sorinchester for an update." The hapless reporter, dishevelled and paler than usual, appeared on screen with our house behind him. It was strange how different it looked on the television. "Good afternoon, Jeremy," said the newsreader. "Is there any further news of Inspector Hobbs?"
"Good afternoon. Not much. However, a witness claims to have seen the remarkable inspector in hot pursuit of the fleeing villains."
He grimaced. "Are you all right, Jeremy?"
"No, I am not. I have recently been indecently assaulted by a vicious dog, which bit me on the..."
"Thank you, Jeremy. We'll be back for more later." It seemed Hobbs was hot news, which was hardly a surprise, for his heroics must have looked truly stunning to anyone who hadn't previously seen him in action. For me, who'd watched him playing leapfrog with rhinoceroses and arresting a rogue elephant, his behaviour had been, more or less, par for the course. I knew, though, how much he would detest all the publicity. It wasn't that he was shy, quite the contrary. It was just that he was naturally reticent about his own achievements, which, as soon as they were completed, belonged to the past. He preferred living in the present and looking forward to whatever came next. There was, of course, another huge reason why he never courted publicity. Hobbs wasn't exactly human. Although I'd never actually worked out quite what he was, I'd accepted his unhumanity long ago, and it rarely bothered me. When it did, on those thankfully rare occasions when he reverted to a wild and savage state, I was still not bothered. I was terrified, and although he'd never attacked me during one of his little turns, part of me couldn't help feeling like a lamb in a lion's den, fearing that one day he'd have me. Most people failed to see past his veneer, the thin layer of policeman. He was a damn good one, even if he did not necessarily adhere too closely to the letter of the law. Furthermore, he was by no means the only non-human in town, for Sorinchester was a weird place, and I'd never quite worked out whether he was the source of the weirdness or just a symptom of it. I changed channels, switching to the local news programme, which to my horror was showing my arrival at 13 Black Dog Street. With my filthy, crumpled clothes, wild hair, muddied face, and the wounds from my battle with the alarm clock and bookcase, I too gave off an aura of weirdness, which was quite depressing. However, the look on Jeremy's face when Dregs nipped him in the bud quickly cheered me up. The clip was repeated in slow motion, before the grinning newsreader joked that the dog had been rushed to the vet with food poisoning. Turning off the television, I headed upstairs for a bath. Sometime later, thoroughly soaked and deep cleansed, I went into my room and started putting on clean clothing. The street outside was still packed with reporters and cameramen, as well as a host of sightseers. At least the Black Dog Cafe down the road was doing extremely well, to judge by the number of cups and cakes I could see. Feeling a little warm, I opened the window to let in some fresh air, and was thinking about combing my hair, when a huge, horrible figure, wearing well-polished black boots, baggy brown trousers, and a scruffy jacket, swung in through the window and landed on the rug with barely a sound.
"Afternoon," said Hobbs. "Put the kettle on. I'm parched."